The message is a message that, in fact, I'll show you the title first. So the title is How to Respond to Correction, God's Will for You When You Are Rebuked. And the reason why I'm preaching this is not because I know something about you and so I want to hit you with this. It's because last Wednesday, I preached this at another church, and so I worked on this, and I felt like this is also the message that the Lord wanted me to give this Wednesday. So it is not intended for anybody specifically. Of course, none of my messages really are. But since the Lord, I'm sure, led me to this message, the Lord does have a reason why he wants us to hear this. And one of the reasons for me that this message is helpful, these truths are helpful, is because this is a measure to me of how humble or not humble I am. How do I respond when I'm corrected or rebuked? And humility is so vital, so important for getting God's grace, for being used of the Lord and having his power, for growing spiritually. We will not grow unless we are humble and teachable. So this is a good measure for us, and we can. This will help us in talking to others and correcting them, because sometimes a good friend does correct and rebuke. And actually, if you're in authority, a pastor, a teacher, a parent, one of the least favorite things I do as BGMBC director is I'm the ultimate disciplinarian. That means that before somebody is expelled, I have to make the final decision on whether to expel that student or not, and I have to talk to them. And what I have seen in those scenarios and in my life is that when I respond or the person responds humbly, that there's a future. There's going to be a blessing for that person. But I have seen students that I have talked to, and it was clear that they deserve to be rebuked or expelled or disciplined in some way, and they did not respond correctly, and I have seen their lives go off track since that point. So this is very important for us. How to respond to correction, God's will for you when you are rebuked. There are three main truths. The first main truth is this: great godly people were corrected. It's not just for those who are obviously sinful, but every one of us need correction at times because none of us are perfect. And when you survey the scripture, you discover that the great people, the godly people whom God used, they were correctable. They were teachable. So examples include Abraham was rebuked by Abimelech when Abraham lied to him. Sarah was corrected by the angels when she laughed and doubted their word. David, of course, that's the picture there. David was corrected, was rebuked by Nathan when he sinned. And of course, we know David was a man after God's own heart. It's great godly people. And you see by his response that he was a godly man. It's not that godly people never sin. It's like what I think it was John Owen who said that the life of a godly man is a life of continual repentance. To be godly doesn't mean you're sinless. To be godly means you are humble and you repent when you recognize that you have sinned. Of course, Peter was corrected by Jesus Christ, and Peter was also rebuked by Paul in Galatians. Paul was rebuked even when Paul mistakenly thought that, when he mistakenly reviled a person that was God's high priest. And Paul had was sorry for that. And that's the evidence of a godly person. When they are sorry, when they realize that they have sinned, when they have said something wrong or they've done something wrong, a godly person humbly receives that. Why do they do that? Because, number one, everyone does wrong. No one is perfect. We all need to change and grow. And so that is, again, why this should be a part of our character, of our testimony, that we readily admit our shortcomings, because all of us do wrong. And when we are rebuked, and when we are corrected, and we have a humble attitude to that, then that is a major point, time when we can grow. I have grown in my Christian life in various ways, but one of the main ways that I've grown, and the main times when I've grown, is when I've been corrected. There's something about, you know, being corrected, and the truth is applied to what you have done or what you have said, a choice you have made, that helps you to realize, you know, I need to change. Also, correction, being corrected, is that evidence that there is somebody who cares about us. Our friends correct us. The next verse, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5, says, I pulled this off the internet, so this is another translation, but open rebuke is better than secret love. If you really love somebody, you care about them enough that you tell them when you see that they are going off in a path that will really hurt them spiritually, that will hurt their lives. So it's when we're corrected by authorities, I don't think authorities always love us. You know, when the police correct us, I don't think they do that out of love. Or when I go to the clubhouse where our subdivision is, and I think one time I was corrected because I had lost my ID, or rebuked because I lost my subdivision ID. I don't think she did that out of love. But when people take the initiative to point out wrong to us, they're doing that because they do care about the direction of our lives. Faithful are the wounds. The next verse, Proverbs 27, 6. I think let's turn there, since this is not on the PowerPoint. Proverbs 27, 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So that is in the context of rebuke. So when a friend wounds you, in the context, and a friend points out that you've done wrong, maybe he says something like, and by the way, when you have to correct somebody else, it does not have to be harsh. You can simply say, you know, brother or son, what you did, I wonder if there's a different way you could have done that. Or is what you did or said, was that the best thing to do or to say? And to kind of put it back on them, for them to examine themselves. Next point, if we do not want to be corrected, here are some of the problems. If you do not want to be corrected, then that means you don't want to change and grow. Because when you really think about that, about the issue of change, Change means there's something about you that is not what it ought to be. And if you don't want to be corrected in areas that are not what they ought to be, then that means you really don't want to grow. Secondly, if you don't want to be corrected, then you are proud, not humble. This is one of the greatest tests or evidences of what our heart attitude is like, whether we are humble or not. If you don't want to be corrected, God will not give you the help you need and the grace you need to live. Because again, God gives grace to the humble. And we desperately need God's power and working and grace in our lives. And God gives that to those who humbly receive instruction, correction, rebuke. And the fourth, the red there, you will not be good or godly. Because the whole point of main truth number one is that great godly people were corrected. We're not going to change, we're not going to grow to be the man of God or woman of God that God wants us to be unless we are correctable. Proverbs 17:10. A reproof, that's a rebuke, entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. So it's characteristic of a wise person. A fool doesn't want rebuke, but if you receive it, you're a wise person. Proverbs 19:25, smite a scorner or reprove one that hath understanding. I'm sorry. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. So this is a way to gain understanding and knowledge, receiving reproof. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, this great passage about the scripture tells us that God reproves and God's word reproves. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So you see from verse 17 that reproof and correction is on the way to being more mature, the word perfect there, more of what God wants you to be. So we need to swallow our pride or forsake our pride and receive rebuke and correction and instruction so that we can be more perfect, more mature. And that is what God does through his word. God does that through people telling us biblical principles and applying that to our lives. And God also does that in our personal devotions, or when we hear preaching. All the time, God is reproving us, rebuking us, correcting us, so that we can change. And why is it that, for example, I think of a deacon in a church in the Philippines, not my church, but another church, that he somehow still is, he wouldn't be a deacon in my church. he still is so spiritually mature in various ways, even though he's heard God's word for 40 years now. And I wonder if it's because all that correction and rebuke that he heard as he heard the scripture, he didn't really accept, he didn't really apply to himself. He dismissed it or rejected it. And that's main truth number two. Main truth number two, the wise accept correction and fools reject it. The wise accept correction and fools reject it. Before we look at a string of verses here, let me just tell you that I had a choice right along this line when I was a freshman in college. And then I think it was another time when I was a junior in college. And in both instances, I was corrected. And I was corrected more than that, I'm sure, but these two times stick out in my mind because it was somebody in authority, high authority over me. And I had a choice both of those times to defend myself, make excuses, rationalize, or to humbly accept what they had said and repent. And I think it's because I did that that the Lord continued to work in me and use me. And all of us face those choices of whether we're going to reject or whether we're going to accept correction. So let's see this truth from Proverbs. Proverbs 1:25. But you have set at naught, ignored all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You rejected my reproof. So this refers to the fool in Proverbs 1. A fool rejects correction. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. So he that accepts discipline is in the way of life. So being disciplined is part of the way of life if we accept it. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And a modern equivalent of that word brutish is really the word stupid. He that hates correction is stupid. Why would that be? Because the correction is really what's going to help you. It's really part of the way of life, the way that you will change and grow and be blessed. So to reject that is really foolish. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So here you have a contrast between the scorner and a wise person. A wise son hears his father's instruction, which includes correction. But a mocker does not. He refuses correction, refuses to accept it. Proverbs 13:8. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So the parallelism of this verse tells you that, once again, part of instruction is reproof. And we've got to receive it, and when we do, then that's the path of being honored, because we are changing and growing. He that rejects rebuke shall end in poverty and shame. There was a guy who he continued to have trouble in his work. He had these great ideas of ventures, business ventures to embark on, to make things and do things. And it was one failure after another. And some wise people, and older than him, and more experienced, started giving him some counsel or advice to help him. But he would not listen. And he continued in poverty. He would not listen to people trying to correct his thinking. And isn't that the root of our actions? Our thinking, our beliefs, our values. And those are precious to us. We're sensitive about those. But if someone wants to correct our thinking and our beliefs, then maybe we should be willing to consider those. A wise man does and compares that to Scripture and is willing to admit, you know, that person's right and I'm wrong. That's humility. Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So a fool despises instructive criticism, but he that learns from reproof is wise. Verse 10, Proverbs 15, 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. So if somebody hates being corrected, it's grievous to him, he hates that, then he's on the path to destroying himself. If somebody corrects you or reproves you, you need to be thankful for that person. Not defend yourself, not fight back and point out his wrong. Be willing to accept instruction and correction. That's good for us. Proverbs 15, 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. And if that describes you, you don't love those who reprove you, you don't want to go to people who will correct you, that's the category of a scorner, a scoffer. Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. How do you feel when you are corrected? You know, when I'm corrected, involuntarily, my neck kind of stiffens. And that is exactly what this is talking about. And I've just got to relent and yield. Don't stiffen your neck against being corrected. Three more here from the prophets. Zephaniah 3:2. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. What is interesting to me about this verse is that not receiving correction is part of a person who does not obey, a person who does not trust in the Lord. This is, I think, talking actually about Israel. A nation or a people that does not draw near to God. So how we receive correction, whether we accept it or not, shows whether we are really wanting the Lord to work in our lives, wanting to draw near to God, trusting in the Lord to change us. Jeremiah 2:30. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. And Jeremiah 5:3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. And this is describing God's people, ostensibly, who ended up being destroyed and judged, chastened by the Lord, because they would not heed people who are trying to change them, to correct them. Are people trying to correct you? I know God is. The Lord's trying to correct us. and maybe other people in our lives are trying to help us to think differently, to think more biblically, to be more biblical in our actions. And we need to receive that. Now, I want to raise this next question. What if you think the correction is not deserved? You know, that person is actually wrong in their understanding of the situation or of what I did or what I said. What if you think the correction is really not deserved? Number one, even if it is not 100% correct, we can still learn from it. I am very thankful for a man who kind of was a colleague of mine, a fellow missionary. He's 20 years older than me, but he allowed me to pastor his church a couple times when he went on furlough. And one of the things I most admire about him, his name is Pastor Gary Jones, is that he was very humble to receive correction, even from people in his church that tried to point things out to him. Even when they were not right, he was telling me, you know, Phil, even if they're not, what they're saying is wrong, it's like number two here, God sovereignly or allowed that. So there's something I can learn from it, even if it's to pause and evaluate myself, to self-examine. There's something that can be helpful from that. God allows it for our good. And thirdly, are you sure that that correction is not deserved? Because when somebody corrects us, we usually tend to minimize our faults and magnify the faults of others. So we really, again, need to humbly receive it and consider fully whether that correction or where that correction rings true or helps us to change something in our lives. Okay, truth number three. Accepting correction is a test of a key to life, humility. And as I started this message, humility is a core virtue and key to Christian growth, Christian service, and pleasing God. So, how do we do regarding this test of our humility? Do we accept correction? Proverbs chapter 15, verses 31 to 33. And this is the last passage, or almost, that we will look at. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And that last word is related to verses 31 and 32 regarding our attitude, our response to instruction and reproof. So the next slide is going to try to compare that. Verse 31 tells us that those that accept reproof are the wise. Verse 32, those that accept reproof get understanding. Right? That's very clear. He that hears reproof gets understanding. And verse 33, the root of the wise is fearing God and humility. So you put all that together and you realize that a person who fears God and is humble accepts reproof. So accepting reproof is an evidence that you fear God and are humble. Do you fear the Lord? Are you humble? Well, it's easy to say yes, but the evidence is whether we accept reproof and correction or not. Humility is not low self-esteem, that's pride. Humility is not fear to speak, that's also pride. Humility does not exalt self, but serves others. And humility is not self-centered and self-defensive. So, how can we be humble? This is a lifelong battle. But every day, we need to fight the battle to forsake our pride and to be humble instead. And God is trying to help us to be humble by, number one there, the orange, to have rejections and failures, to realize we're not that great. God allows us to have problems and trials, to realize we're not that strong. And God allows us to be corrected and be rebuked, to realize that we're not that good. And all of these pressures and problems and rejections and failures and even the corrections and rebuke, God is trying to help us to be humble so that we could experience God's grace and power in our lives. So I'll end with this verse, Proverbs 9:8. Okay, the beginning of humility, let's go back to that one. Beginning of humility is admitting that we are proud. And a key evidence of humility is accepting correction. May the Lord help us to realize that we are much prouder than we realize. And that's the beginning of becoming more humble. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. I hope we could be categorized as wise because of our response to rebuke. Let's pray. Lord, we